powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
This hour is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. One MLB expert is wondering whether the Mariners are missing leadership. Before I play you this sound, Jake, before I start playing this sound, did that answer from Bob Nightingale, who joined us earlier, surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me in terms of it being a problem, but I asked him what was the number one thing that he pointed to, and that's what he pointed to. That surprised me.
Okay.
That surprised me that he pointed to veteran leadership as being the issue, which is also something that drives you a little crazy when it comes down to ultimately the lack of depth, the lack of moves that we talked about, or some of the decisions that they made about what they did not want to carry over from 2021 into 2022.
So this is what Bob Nightingale had to say.
Well, I think they're really missing the veteran leadership in that clubhouse. You know, there's not that veteran there that guys lean on. And I think when guys struggle, it's like, okay, let me get some advice or, you know, consolation from guys who've been there and done that. You know, Seager was one of those guys for sure in that clubhouse. I just think they miss that leadership. And, you know, they don't have it. There's so many young players in that team. And I think we're going through a free fall like they are now. It just gets worse. It's just a sometimes I think they wonder where to turn.
Now, I think some people are hearing that and thinking, what do you mean no veteran leadership? They've got Haniger, they've got Crawford, they've got Marco Gonzalez, they brought in Robbie Ray, who's a veteran. And all of that is correct. However, Curtis, as you pointed out, there is at least one example of, hey, this guy was a veteran leader in the bullpen, is not there anymore, and not only that, but to make matters worse, is excelling elsewhere. So you pointed to Joe Smith. You guys remember Joe Smith was part of that Kendall Graveman trade, who kind of got overshadowed given that Graveman was the headliner there, and there were many emotional reactions afterwards. So if you guys remember from a game in September of last year, there was a Steckenrider blown save, but Joe Smith said, look, that's on me.
When you give up an out, you know, a zero out triple, like I did, it, you know, when Steck comes in, he's been absolutely unbelievable for us all year, and especially since I've gotten here, and it just puts him in a spot where he's got to make the perfect pitches. I mean, what we saw out of him tonight was not him, and it's not how he pitches, but I mean, that's on me. I mean, if he gets a single off me, you know, I think it's a different feel for the inning with Steck coming in. If I get him out, it's obviously a different feel.
He loaded the bases. He said, doing what I did tonight doesn't set anyone up for success. Important to note some context, too, which is that it was Steckenrider who was going to be interviewed post-game. Joe Smith volunteered those comments.
Yes. He said, no, Steck, you're gonna take the night off. You're not going to answer those comments. I'm going to go to the mic, and I'm going to do this for you. And that is what true leadership does. That sets the tone in the clubhouse that you have each other's back. And that is not to say, Stacey, as you mentioned before, that there's not –
there is veteran leadership.
There is veteran leadership, or guys that, you know, people turn towards and think very highly of, J.P. Crawford, you know, being one of those guys. But having true veteran leadership, older guys that have been there, done that. Suarez, you know, being a guy that, hey, good vibes only. All the players love Suarez. But Mitch Haniger isn't out there playing right now. You're missing his veteran presence out there playing every single day. And Mitch is not really there with the team at the moment. He's doing his own thing in the rehab process. And what I would say is that, you know, you are also missing Kyle Seager, right? And for anybody that has an issue with Kyle Seager or whatever your problems may be, Kyle Seager was a leader, was somebody that people within the clubhouse genuinely looked to and that had a strong presence, and obviously not only had a strong presence in terms of leadership, but also with his production on the field and driving in runs and being somebody with runners in scoring position that came up clutch for you all season long last year. You are missing that. 100% you're missing that. And, you know, you talked about, you know, Joe Smith. Well, he was part of that trade. You decide to let him go. And what is he doing for the Minnesota Twins? Well, he's having a really, really, really good year. Below a 1 ERA for a winning team like the Twins, and you as an organization said, we could do without Joe Smith here on our 2022 roster.
Yeah, according to Aaron Gleeman, Smith has a 0.61 ERA and 18 appearances for the Twins, if you just wanted to add salt to that wound. But it doesn't give him any credit for this, for stranding 13 runners he's inherited. That's every runner he's inherited. He says he has the third highest win probability added of any reliever in the AL. I think some people have looked at Tyler Anderson and said, oh, I sure wish he had that guy in the rotation. And I think just maybe one too many
times. I certainly do.
Maybe one too many times this year has there been points of looking at Mariners who have gone elsewhere thinking like, oh, I kind of wish that guy was still here because this team could really use it right now.
Yes.
So this is kind of a combination of those two ideas. Bob Nightingale saying, hey, you could use veteran leadership on a young team, and a veteran leader from the bullpen finding success elsewhere in a year when your bullpen is struggling.
It is. It is something that I think it really, really hurts you as an organization and as a team when you are missing that. And when you have not, and I'll say it again a million times, when you do not hedge on the idea that maybe some of these young guys that you are trying to get to perform better or take the next step and bank on them to being a part of a playoff run or team, if you don't plan ahead and you don't hedge on the fact that there's a strong possibility it doesn't work out, you leave yourself open, susceptible to what has currently happened with this club right now.
Well, yeah, what you do is you say, hey, I have so much faith in Jared Kelnick. He's a cornerstone of this franchise, and I do think the organization still really likes him and has faith in him. But you say, I don't want to sign an outfielder to block him because he is so exceptionally talented. I think he can be great. And then instead, because Jared Kelnick's been sent down and demoted and you didn't bring in a free agent, you've now got a utility guy, Dylan Moore, or a guy you just brought up, Taylor Trammell, who were kind of rotating at right field or occasionally left.
Yeah, one of the moves or the logic that I don't understand is, remember when Jerry DePoto was talking about the starting rotation and how he said he wants to add a top-tier guy? He wants to add a three-level starter
or more.
That
was after they had acquired Robbie Ray.
I was going to say, so this is after they had acquired Ray. It was the first interview that he did post-lockout, and they were basically like, what are you looking to add? And he said, we do need to add to the rotation. And then he was asked, are you looking for a number six guy? And he implied, like you said, that he was looking much higher in the rotation.
Yes, and that is where their focus was. And all while doing that, they couldn't find a trade partner. They couldn't find the next guy that could fit that role. And instead, you let Tyler Anderson walk because he's a five guy and you're in your rotation or four or five, wherever you place him.
And you wanted better than that.
And you wanted better than that, but you didn't get better than that. And instead, you let Tyler Anderson walk, and he's under a reasonable contract with the Dodgers. And instead of doing that, Stacey, what you then ended up deciding to do was you're going to speed up the timeline of when you need to bring up Matt Brash and George Kirby. That's legitimately what you did, is you sped up that timeline of when you want to see them because you're so focused on trying to find the perfect answer of what you want instead of bringing in someone that's going to solidly be on the back end of the starting rotation. And he's only going to be there for a year. He only signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers, correct?
Correct.
So it's not like this is somebody that's going to stop the progression of any of your young pitchers. This is a stopgap guy, clearly, yet again. And those are some of the decisions that they have made that I scratch my head and I wonder, like, what were we thinking here? The 360 continues to keep adding to the pain. Thank you very much. I just want to feel all of it right now. Graveman is good this year, too, in 20 games, has only given up one home run. So, you know, cool.
When the Mariners keep getting beat by the long ball.
Yes,
I know he's a reliever, so it's different. But do you guys think that what happened in the case of not adding that second reliever you wanted, is that because there was an injury, I forget who it was,
Casey Sadler.
No, not Casey Sadler. I'm not talking about the bullpen. I'm talking about starters. There was some kind of starter we thought they could be going for.
Oh, Luis Castillo.
Yes.
From the Reds.
Do you think it was that they were targeting someone who got injured, that a trade just fell through and they didn't want to give it up? Or do you think there was a mind that was changed within the organization?
I believe that it could have been. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's not a possibility, but also the three arms that you were very interested in, Bassett, Montas, and Manaea, those three guys for the A's were names that you were certainly interested in as an organization. From what we learned about the Matt Chapman trade in Toronto, what happened? It is widely reported that the Mariners offered a larger trade compensation package for Matt Chapman that they wanted him badly. But the A's turned them down.
Yeah, they should have considered the A's wouldn't want to give them to a team in the division.
Exactly. So your answers, probably that Jerry DePoto's sitting there going, there is a 2-3 level starter there with the A's, and I want one of those three guys, and the A's won't trade them to me.
Or they were asking for the moon. They were asking for people like Julio or maybe Kelnick at the time.
Why? Because they don't want to trade them anyways to the Mariners. So the plan there should have been recognized that, hey, this isn't going to work out exactly like we want. Let's go to the alternative option here, and let's at least solidify our rotation rather than leaving it up in the air and forcing some of these young guys to have to come up a little bit earlier than we would like. I mean, Logan Gilbert is the exception, not the rule. The fact that Logan Gilbert was able to figure it out during the course of the season last year just goes to speak how talented and how special Logan Gilbert is. Bringing up, these guys and, having the sink or swim mentality a little bit, this early on in the process is something that can be dangerous and hopefully not detrimental.
The hardest thing to figure out with the Mariners, and it will be the hardest thing the rest of this season, going into next offseason, into infinity, is the same thing that most other franchises and their fans ask themselves, which is, where are the limitations coming from, the restrictions coming from? Like, whose fault is it really? Is it John Stanton said, hey, here are the keys, run with it, whatever money you need, do whatever you want. I'm a fan of this team and I want it to be better and go do what you want. And that Jerry picked the wrong things, or that trades fell through, or teams weren't as willing, or people weren't willing to come to Seattle. Is it that he was told, no, actually, we're limiting how much money you can spend, and he felt that these were the right moves? Is it that he genuinely felt that a guy like Jesse Winker, who on paper we all agreed seemed like a better return at the time, let me just say that. Many people were very keen on that trade, mm-hmm. acquiring Jesse Winker. That just a number of trades didn't work out? Is it that
I have
leaning too much on young prospects to develop, knowing that attrition will happen?
One, leaning too much on prospects and leaning too much on young, inexperienced players to step up and take the next step on the back half of your lineup and also on your bench. That's, I would say, that as one of the pieces. The second part, to answer your question, I do think that there was a limit. I don't know how much. I don't, obviously, but I don't believe it was, hey, here's the credit card, max it out, do what you need to do, Jerry, to get it done.
But why is there a limit?
I don't know.
Genuinely, what? Like, I don't think Jerry DePoto, I mean, I'm sure Jerry DePoto
don't ask
love
me.
To spend,
I'm
like,
not the
Yankees,
one who's making decisions.
I don't think Jerry DePoto wants to go out there and overspend. But, like, if you want your team to win, if you want to be a contender, if you want to make this town, this team better, then why the limit?
I don't know. The only thing that you could say is why the limit is because before you go out and you spend and you max the card, you want to make sure that the young guys are stars, that a Julio Rodriguez is a star, that Logan Gilbert is a star, that Jared Kelnick comes through and has a season like he did at the end of the month last season. And therefore, because of that, you are much more apt to spend because you know it's going to pay off in the long term, rather than going out and signing Robinson Cano and it never, working out, and therefore you have a contract dead in the water. I think that it's trying to avoid those situations when you're never going to get those guarantees. You don't sports. You never live in a world with guarantees.
All right, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down, will Colin Kaepernick be able to play his way onto the field if the Raiders sign him?
I don't know the overall purpose behind signing Colin Kaepernick with the Raiders, right? Is it just to allow him the opportunity to compete in camp, in training camp, and in the preseason? Or is it the intention of signing him so that he can become the backup, right? There's two different thought processes there, that the Raiders say, Colin Kaepernick, right now, we watched his workout. He's our backup quarterback. We're going to sign him. Or is it, hey, he's going to come in and he's going to have to compete against everybody else. Jared Stidham, Chase Garbers, Nick Mullins, whoever they see, how does it go? And to me, ultimately, I don't see Colin Kaepernick playing his way onto the field as a starter in this league. Derek Carr, I think, is secure in his spot there. But in terms of him making the roster, I think Colin Kaepernick going up against somebody like Jared Stidham or Nick Mullins, somebody of that ilk, I think that Colin Kaepernick could play his way onto a roster, given the fact that he does, we'll see, but if he's given the opportunity to show that he still possesses the athleticism, he's kept himself in great shape, and if he can show that, if he can flash that in preseason games, then I do think a team like the Raiders would be more apt to give him a chance on the roster as either the primary backup or the third string quarterback.
Second down. Both Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson are sitting out OTAs. Which situation do you believe is more shaky?
The situation that's clearly more shaky is the Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Kyler Murray, look, there's a lot of drama there in Arizona. We've seen this. It's been well documented through the offseason. But ownership, GM, have remained steadfast that, hey, they want to sign Kyler Murray. They're going to sign Kyler Murray, and the intention is that a deal gets done this summer. That, to me, is positive news despite the approach that Kyler Murray's taking. Do I agree with it overall? No. But I think the reason why Lamar Jackson's situation is more shaky is because Lamar Jackson is his own agent, first and foremost. He's his own agent, and there is some feeling underneath the surface that although Lamar Jackson would love to stay in Baltimore long term, that there's not really a feeling of, you know, a point by the organization to surround Lamar Jackson with everything that he needs to blossom into a true elite quarterback, you know, for the long haul over the course of his career. And you just look at by their actions, in terms of what they've done offensively with personnel. They haven't been aggressive in going out and getting Lamar Jackson the personnel that he needs to be successful as a passer in this league. They've doubled down on offensive line. They've doubled down on running backs. They've doubled down on tight ends. They want to be a hardcore running offense and system, and that's great, but that's not great for the longevity of Lamar Jackson's career. There's going to be a finite amount of time where Lamar Jackson can truly be a dynamic running option and stay healthy in this league. There's going to have to be a point in time where he transitions himself into a great passer along with all the great traits that he possesses as an athlete and as a carrier of the football. So the Baltimore Ravens are not doing much to help him in that aspect. And Stacey, that's why I think that Lamar Jackson, if he's truly looking at his long-term future, I think it's on shaky ground whether or not the best thing for him is staying with the Baltimore Ravens.
Third down. Lots of NFL teams are receiving hype this offseason, but which team's hype do you feel is well-deserved?
The team that I feel like is well-deserved is the New Orleans Saints. And there's a texter on here that's going nuts talking about, well, how can you feel good about the Saints and not the Seahawks and their quarterback situation? I get it. Jameis Winston is a total wild card. I'm not saying that I'm a major believer in Jameis Winston. It is totally volatile. He's got tremendous talent in terms of, you know, what he is able to do, but also he's got demons in his game in regards to turning the football over. He's got to make sure that he is not a detriment to the Saints offense or to the Saints team, but collectively as a roster, I think they've got a really good roster outside the quarterback position, and that is the one true question mark. But based off of Jameis Winston's performance last year, I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he did a decent job before he got hurt. And if he can come in there and not try to do what he did in Tampa Bay, which is try to put the team on his back and try and be a gunslinger, and he threw 30 touchdowns to 30 interceptions, if he tries to be more of a game manager, which I guarantee you Dennis Allen is going to tell Jameis Winston that's exactly what your role is, then I do think they have a chance because they've got a solid running game, they've got a great defense, and they've got the making to be able to capitalize on a weaker NFC division or NFC conference. And they went 9-8 last year despite all of the crazy problems that they had. So I'm a believer that the Saints can be a playoff team this year.
Fourth down. All right, Jake, earlier I asked you to list one Seattle sports question that you have from the offseason that you'd like answered, whether it was about the Seahawks, whether it was about the Mariners, whether it was about any other team, just a lingering question that you don't have the answer to and you need it.
Yes.
I want to expand it to all of sports now.
All of sports?
If you could have the absolute truth, unfiltered truth, as an answer to a question across all time, history of sports, what question would you want the answer to?
This is recency bias. This is total
the truth. You get the truth.
This is total recency bias, but why hasn't Daniel Snyder been ousted?
That's the question you would ask?
Mm-hmm. I told you, total recency bias. I mean, there are lots of other great questions that you could have out there.
You know, now that
Michael
I think about
Jordan,
it, it's
not whether he retired and walked away or
no.
whether there was a suspension that
yes.
was there. That is another one. But just total recency. I do not understand why Daniel Snyder is allowed to still be an owner in this league right now when there clearly are so many problems within that organization, and knowing that there's all these emails that they have and documents that they have and they have not wanted to release them, I have to imagine that it's not just covering for one owner. It has to be because there are a lot of owners or people in high places around the NFL that the Shield is trying to protect.
So it would unveil a little conspiracy. Curtis, what about
yes.
you? If you could have one question answered, history of sports.
I would like to know the names.
Three who didn't vote.
No. Okay. I would like to know if the city of Seattle, when they settled with the Oklahoma City Ownership Group, what was in the decision by the judge that if they ruled in favor of Seattle, who knows if the Sonics were still here, but before that decision was made known, they reached the $45 million settlement with Clay Bennett and his cronies.
Yeah.
I would like to ask, what was the decision? We'll never know. We'll never know.
That's a good one. All right. Two fun segments here to kind of wrap up the show. I know it wasn't the most fun ending to a Mariners series. The Mariners have an off day today. We are waiting for some updates from Seahawks OTAs. They've wrapped that up this week. So I want to have a little fun here. So we're going to do Hype Train, then we're going to jump into this or that fun half hour here. Here we go. That's coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we do this every Tuesday, every Thursday. It is Hype Train. Curtis, take us to the station. Here's how it works. I tell you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports. If you are buying it, you believe it, you think it's not just hype, you're boarding the train and you got to tell me why you believe it. If you think, though, that it is nothing but hype, you're not buying what I'm selling, you're not boarding that train. You're staying at the station. You still have to tell me why, though. So here we go. The first hype train. Our sacrifices that we made. Curtis agreeing not to make fun of you, Dub, for 3 days. Me agreeing to give up one reality show.
3 days.
Jake agreeing to give up some snacking.
Late night snacking. Be very clear about
this.
It's
okay. I also limited mine to one reality show as opposed to all. I need stuff to watch.
Yeah, but this is, you don't understand how hard this is.
Okay.
Like, at the end of the day, you know, some people like an alcoholic beverage. Some people, whatever, or wine, whatever it is.
Yeah.
For me, it is
Cheese Whiz.
It is the ability to have just a small sample of a late night snack.
Okay, well, Jake is giving that up for 3 days. And our sacrifices will be enough because this is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. The Mariners will win their series against the Astros this weekend. Jake.
I can't board this hype train in good conscience.
No.
I'm sorry. I would love to, you know, be able to spill my optimism in front of everyone and you know, be able to say the Mariners, this is exactly what they're going to do. But right now, we're down bad, Curtis. We're down bad, and I would love nothing more for them to step up, but I'm broken.
I'm taking a look at the pitching matchups for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, you've got Chris Flexen against Justin Verlander.
I was just going to ask when Verlander's pitching.
I don't like that. You've got Logan Gilbert against Jose Urquidy.
Oh,
okay, that might go Seattle's way.
Sure.
Sunday, Marco Gonzalez against Luis Garcia. Garcia's really good. I'm going to let this train go by, unfortunately.
Stacy, could you be the optimist out of us?
Nope.
Okay.
No, you know what? Actually.
Oh.
What?
Yes.
Oh?
Uh-huh.
What?
Get
out of
here. The Mariners. No, listen to this. The Mariners will not only win this series.
Oh, man.
They will win the game against the best pitcher in the series. That's right. They will get a win on Friday against Justin Verlander when they put up precisely Precisely 5 runs on 6 hits.
Whoa. Okay.
Got it. Second hype train. Here we go. Sticking with Mariners for this one. I got some NFL ones, though. The Mariners certainly need to help this roster. We know that, but the trade deadline is until the end of July, and things can get a little quiet in May. So here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. The Mariners will make a trade to bolster this roster in the next 30 days. So essentially before kind of July 1st.
Okay. Once again, I would love to be able to sell hope. And I would love to be able to give hope at the current moment that in 30 days from now, this team is going to be completely turned around, that this team is going to find their way, and that they will be an exciting, you know, team that is hunting for the playoff race. I would love to be able to say that that is the case. But I can't get on the hype train right now. I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't do it. I've been sitting here waiting for Jesse Winker to turn this thing around. We are at a point where we are hoping that Kyle Lewis is going to be the answer to our prayers. And I feel for the guy right now as I watch him run to first base after you know, hits. I want hope so bad. But right now, I don't see the path. I cannot see it.
The hype train is that the Mariners will make a trade to help the roster in the next 30 days, which is basically before July 1st, still a month before the trade deadline. Curtis, are you boarding? Jake is not.
I just want to do
everything Jake does.
No.
Excuse me?
I am going to hop aboard this train, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay. I can't wait for this answer.
The Mariners are going to need to do something in order to keep people interested, in order to...
There you go.
In order to... keep eyes on this team. They got to do something, especially beyond adding Justin Upton, which, by the way, you add Justin Upton, we don't even see him for like a few weeks. Like, when you add somebody like that, don't you want to have them help you immediately?
No, you would think.
If
but
Upton's
no,
on this
Curtis.
Roster and things continue to spiral, what good is that going to do?
Curtis, hear me out. Here is the long play. Justin Upton, people forget about him. Teams forget about him, and just when they think that they've, you know, got you down,
it's like
they bring you Justin Upton and
surprise everyone. That's Justin Upton's music.
Is that Justin Upton's music?
Yeah. I think the Mariners will be in a position where they kind of have to make a move. We've seen it before with this team.
Okay.
The most recent example I can think of, two of them, in the 2010 season, they traded for Russell Branyan after he was a member of the 09 team. And he hits dingers for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at a point where it was like, we got to do something to fix this, and it didn't help. And then I think it was either 2014 or 2015, they traded for Kendrys Morales after he was here the year prior.
Yeah.
And again, same exact thing. It wasn't enough. But those were moves to show the fan base, like, we're trying, man. We're doing something here.
We're trying to fix it. But were they question?
Fix this
question. Were they like around 500 at the time? Or
no
they were not.
No.
Okay, all right. Well,
next
Curtis,
side
you might
train
be right.
Into the station, going to the Western Conference Finals for this one. Where Game 5 tips off tonight at 6 p.m. Golden State leading the series 3-1. We know the Warriors have always been safe with a 3-1 lead. Never seen that vanish before. But they actually made good on it tonight in advance with a win over the Mavs to the NBA Finals.
Curtis, what'd you say? A gentleman's sweep.
You let them get one, and then you...
It's the nice thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know what you would call this. Not a gentleman's sweep, but a conspiratorial money grab. I do not think they sealed the deal tonight.
The NBA forces a game 6.
The NBA money machine has to keep this thing rolling.
Mm. Big basketball at work.
That's right.
Big NBA.
They need this game to at least go to game 5 for the profit margins to be what they need. Therefore, the fix is in. The Mavs are going to win tonight, and this is going to go to game 6.
Curtis. The hype train is that the Warriors get it done tonight, advance to the NBA playoffs with a win over the Mavs. Jake says nope, because big basketball is trying to make that money. The Mavs will win tonight, not because of Luka, because the NBA needs that revenue. What do you say?
this series is over. Warriors are winning it tonight. We're getting on this hype train.
Yeah. Come on, C-Rodge. Think with your third eye. Come on.
Last hype train. We'll be really quick with this one. All right. I read you guys an NFL.com article earlier that listed the 10 bandwagons that every NFL fan must jump on. At number two, it was that Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. So this is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Trevor Lawrence will be an MVP candidate in 2022.
Holy smokes. He's going to jump all the way to being an MVP candidate?
Uh-huh.
Whew. Okay. I have to look at their schedule, how it shapes up.
You don't have enough time.
I'm not boarding the hype train at all. This is not a favorable start to the season for the Jags. I think that it will be a positive season for Trevor Lawrence, but MVP... No.
Yeah, he's not going to be an MVP. I mean, will he have like a Joe Burrow ascent in year two? I don't think so either, because that would mean a Super Bowl visit. I don't think that's going to be the case.
And it would mean having a Jamar Chase.
Is there such a thing as a second year performer award at the end of the year?
The opposite of a sophomore slump?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's rookie of the year and
sophomore stardom.
They give it just to anyone on the Jags who was a rookie last year. They're like, look, it didn't count.
You couldn't be worse than you were.
Exactly. We're really sorry that happened. That is Hype Train every Tuesday, every Thursday. So we're going to wrap things up with this or that. Coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It's This or That, brought to you by All Red Heating and Electric. I am going to ask us a series of this or that questions. And if you guys want to send them in, you can. 206-421-3776. Let's get started. This or That, NBA Finals Edition. I have two potential matchups. Warriors Celtics or Mavs Heat?
Warriors Celtics. I'm taking Warriors Celtics.
1,000%.
Yeah.
The Heat look dead in the water right now, uninspired. And I don't think that the Warriors are going to have a 3-1,
implosion
like in the past. I don't see it happening, guys. I don't see it happening.
This or that. You can have four arms or four legs.
Four arms or four legs?
Listen, I need to clarify something. If you have four legs, your arms are legs. So it's
you gotta walk like on all fours.
I mean, you could walk on two legs.
So you don't have any extra appendages.
You can walk on it's not like your regular body and you just have an extra pair of legs or an extra pair of arms.
You're just building a dog.
All of your limbs are arms or all of your limbs are legs.
Oh.
So you can have opposable thumbs if you have all arms.
I thought you meant four arms in addition to two legs.
No, yeah. I mean either you have four arms as all of your appendages. Or you have four legs. The
I'm
problem
going four arms.
Four arms is easy. Easy choice. Easier, who would pick legs?
It's easier to walk if you have your legs still.
It's almost like being a chimpanzee in a way.
Yes. Your body your body will naturally adapt. Your hands.
You'll never be able to run.
Watch me.
Yeah.
Watch me.
I'll do it. No. Speak for yourself.
That's right. Just because you won't be coordinated enough doesn't mean I won't be.
Someone said, basically, do you want to be a bear or a chimp? And I'm imagining someone with four legs, with just the stiffest legs as arms reaching out for things.
Yeah. Well, but think about it. With your feet, how are you going to grab things with your toes? I mean, you got to be pretty impressive with your ability with your toes to grab stuff. No way. I'm picking hands. I'm picking arms, hands. That is an easy, easy choice.
Okay, well, the texters disagree. 253 says four arms, obviously.
Yeah, four arms, obviously. That's what I said. I want four arms.
Okay.
So I have hands.
This or that. This is a long one from a listener. This or that. Jake. Troy Aikman moves next door and pops by all the time to hang out with you and your family. Your family loves him, but the Mariners go on a tear and win the World Series this year and the next five consecutive seasons. Okay? Or the source of your distaste for Troy is 100% gone forever, but the M's are horrible for another 20 years. So basically it's saying this or that is...
Your family likes Troy Aikman and the Mariners
door,
win the
World Series. And he pops in regularly, like, but the Mariners win the
family?
World Series. What it really is, isn't it this or that? It's a question from Joey in the 206 about whether you would live next door to Troy Aikman for 5 years.
If it meant the Mariners
won the
World
Series.
I would take that.
I hate you so much, Joe, for putting me in this situation, but I would become best friends with Troy Aikman if it meant the Mariners were going to win the World Series in the next 5 years.
All right.
I would have to.
This or that from the 425. Who would you rather see lose a Super Bowl? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh. Is this not the most easy answer of all time? It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that would be pretty spectacular.
Watching Aaron Rodgers in complete disgust is one of the funniest things ever. Like, I genuinely enjoy it because you know that he just genuinely hates everyone around him in that moment.
Yes.
That everyone can get it.
Correct.
No one's safe. Tom Brady, look, it's happened to him before. He knows how to deal with it. He just walks off. Aaron Rodgers is seething mad and is ready to blame everyone at the next press conference that he walks on the podium.
This or that.
More entertainment.
This or that. You can only walk backwards, or you can only speak in a very, very quiet whisper.
Ooh, that's... See...
Speaking of whisper.
Speaking of whisper is hard for me. Not that I can't, but...
Can you whisper
when
yell?
When I'm excited...
You can't
do
it. This is no, 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 no. This is the loudest you could get.
This is the loudest your voice could get.
And there's no like inflection that you.
No, no, no.
Okay, well,
imagine hosting a radio show.
That would be hard.
Way.
Yeah.
You guys, welcome into ASMR, Jake and
Stacey. We already did ASMR, Jake
difficult.
And Stacey
did.
During the
yes.
lockout.
But having to only walk backwards, I mean, that you're going to run into a lot of problems. You're going to be injured quite often in
you
your
can
life.
Turn around and see where you're walking.
What am I, an owl? Can I turn my head a full 360? No, that's not going to be. I would do the whisper, only having to talk in a whisper.
Someone says their solution would be to whisper into a megaphone.
Oh.
Just carry
getting,
with you at all
getting
times.
Clevered.
This or that, we're going 90s Nickelodeon game shows, Legends of the Hidden Temple, or Guts?
Guts? What was Guts?
That was with the
Global
Agro
Guts.
Crack. Yeah, that was
Mike
like
O'Malley
a,
was the host. Mm-hmm. You had Mo, the referee. She was from Australia.
Oh, Guts!
I didn't know so much
about
Guts.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
I am picking
I
Guts.
I grew up on these shows.
I'm picking Guts all day. That show was amazing.
Guts.
Absolutely amazing.
People are sleeping on Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple was incredible.
It was really
shout out
good.
To the Silver Snakes. That was my team that I rolled with.
Silver Snakes.
Yeah.
Legend of the Hidden Temple was a fun one and so intense, right? They would put that... They would put what were
like
those?
A statue of like a monkey.
Yeah, they put the monkey together, and that was super intense. Like I really enjoyed that show, but Guts was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I guess I'm going Legends of the Hidden Temple. I watched that more than Guts, but always great, always great. All right, let's go. Final. This or that. Perfect game situation. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Daytime. Summer baseball, assume the team is winning and they're playing a rival in a fun game, or Sunday night lights football game.
Sunday night
prime football. Prime time football.
Okay.
Or sunny daytime baseball.
I mean, sunny daytime baseball is awesome and the team's really good.
Yeah.
I'm still going Sunday night football. There's just something about it, being under the lights. Prime time.
Yeah, I'm going.
I mean,
prime
just
time.
The environment, everything else, like the intensity.
There's a
just,
drama
it,
to it.
I'm
exactly.
Going prime time.
Exactly.
Anything.
Yeah.
That would include if there was a baseball game in like a high energy environment.
Oh, like
I
a
would,
one game playoff.
I would rather have it be at night. There's just something more on the edge of your seat about it.
Agreed. Agreed.
Daytime baseball is fun but relaxing.
It is.
I can't have that for something that matters. I can't do that.
The moment you get the lights, and that's why, you know, like high school football, you just can't beat it. Like everybody, you know, Friday night lights, you know, it just.
Great show.
Things that you will always remember. Prime time under the lights is always, always a winner.
Texas
all right.
Forever.
That will do it for us. This has been Jake and Stacey on Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.